World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, happy whatever this is, and I just got to tell you this. We're in a vortex. You guys know what a vortex is? You know what a vortex is? One of those little spouts that you see when you flush your toilet. It's like a reverse tornado. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? We're in a vortex. It is so obvious to me that we are in a vortex. And I don't know what it's, I don't know how this thing's going to end. Look, I can read the Bible. I'm going to tell you this. Only me now. Coach Dave live here, right? We're so heavenly conscious, we're no earthly good. I want to tell you a story here. God, first of all, second of all, third of all, Dave, I want to hear a full report about New Orleans. I'll get to you in just a second, right? God bless Steve Deck. I'm telling you, unbelievable. Steve Deck has been here, seems like a month, like he lives in. Just kidding, Steve. And he's been getting that camper up, and the stuff he's been doing to that camper, I just can't even tell you, man. And he don't want a pat on the back. He don't want anything. He just serves the Lord. And there's guys like that everywhere we look. And I had the most amazing thing happen. Steve and I had the most amazing thing happen. Because he was working on the deck. I'm still working on the deck. Because Mr. Deck is working on this camper, this huge, beautiful camper that we're going to haul down to some. It's unbelievable. He's got the heater gone. It's amazing. It's been cold here, been snowing and raining, and he's out there. Man, I can't say enough about him. Anyway, we end up at the mobile home dealership. It's a big one. It's called RCD Sales. Big one. They got about 5 or 6 different branches. And Steve and I ended up there because we were looking for, he needed some stuff for to get the camper. What do you call those things? The RV, to get that thing up and he just needed some parts. So we show up there and I got my cross hat on and they aren't very busy. I mean, they got like 6 or 7 employees sitting around the desks, but they're really not very busy. So I sit down, I start a conversation. I got my cross hat on. I sit down, start a conversation with some lady. And she said, pardon me, she said, didn't I vote for you a few years ago? I said, what? She said, didn't I vote for you? Didn't you run for something? I said, oh, yeah, back in 2010, I ran for you. She says, oh, yeah, that's it. She said, I knew that name. So I'm over there, and I'm witnessing to her. And Steve Deck's over, he's, I don't know, 50 feet away. He's sitting at another desk talking to another guy. And so finally we get up. Stay with me. This is quite a story. And so we get up and we move to this camper. And we're looking at this camper. We're talking. And this guy comes walking up to me. And he's got a Bible in his hands. Young guy. What's Steve? Maybe, I don't know, maybe 35. Maybe. I don't know. Nice looking guy. Employee. He comes walking up. I got my cross hat on. Comes walking up. He's got a Bible in his hands. And he said, pardon me, where do I start in this thing? I said, huh? He says, in this Bible, where do I start in this thing? Folks, it was unbelievable. Steve can bear witness to it. And I said, well, man, I gave him a real quick lesson about that you're a spirit that lives in a body, you possess a soul, and the soul's your mind, your will, and emotion. Took him through that whole thing that when you die, your body goes back to dust, and yeah, spirit goes back to God, and the soul, which is who you are, you're going to stand before God, you're going to be judged. Here's what the gospel's about. Jesus died on the cross. I gave him a real quick Bible 101. And he said, well, where do I start? Holding his Bible. Where do I start? Anybody ever ask you that? Where do I start? Well, he said, well, in Genesis. I said, oh, geez, criminy. Dude, don't get in that Old Testament. You will get so lost in that Old Testament. Don't go that Old Testament. Here's what I want you to do. If you're really, really serious about it, I want you to read Psalms and Proverbs. And I opened up his Bible. No, I didn't open up his Bible. I said, turn to Proverbs. I'm trying to think here. I said, turn to Proverbs 6 and just start reading to me. So he flips it over, turns to, it wasn't 6, maybe it was 2. I don't remember what it was. I didn't even know what it was, where, right? I said, just turn to Proverbs 2. And so he turns to Proverbs and I said, go ahead, start reading it. And Spencer, throw a proverb up there. Just go to Proverbs 6, okay? I'm going to show you guys something. Proverbs, we have so 2. Screwed up Christianity. We have so screwed it up. We've so screwed it up. So here he is with that Bible that he comes and brings to me. Where do I start? And I said, so I'll just start reading. Now, again, maybe it wasn't 6, okay?
It was 2.
It was. Thank you, Steve. It was 2. Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. I said, dude, look, this is just instructions on how to live a godly life. My son, so he's got this. I said, start reading this to me. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments within thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, and if you criest after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, and if you'll seek him, her as silver, and search for her as a hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so he reads down through that. I said, flip the 4. He flips the 1, goes a little bit before, he reads a couple from 4. I said, dude, look, Proverbs is all about instruction on how to live a godly life. Start there. Just start in Proverbs. And they're long and there's a lot of them, but you'll be able to understand them. And so he did, and we talked about the Gospels and how it works. Don't get into the Old Testament. I don't know if I've ever in my life had a fish jump in the boat like that. Ever in my life. Now, I didn't lead him to the Lord. I didn't lead him to the Lord. Because I didn't think it's good to lead him to. I told him about it, but I didn't lead him to the Lord because we're going to hook him and reel him in and let him rot on the beach. I don't want to do that. He has a hunger for it. Steve, what do you have to add on it? Because it was such a powerful.
Yeah, I asked him his faith, and he was very lukewarm. And he, you know, but once I told my testimony, his eyes were bugging out of his head. I told him I had the hand of God shoved in my right eye and the audible voice and all that, and then he started lighting up. And then at that point, he went to bring the Bible back to me, and then you showed up, you know, yeah. and told me to hit the New Testament. It was all good.
But folks, so why is it? How have we gotten to this point where Christianity has become what it's become? How has that happened? I don't know. It really, really grieves me. But I'm going to tell you right now, I believe there is a hunger for the gospel like we have never seen. And I want to tell you this right now. We better learn to explain it to others. And if I could be missing my mark here. Most of you can't do it. Most of you can't do it. Why? Because it's never been done to you. Nobody ever explained it to you. Huh? How many of you, I'm just curious, how many of you out there right now ever knew that you were body, soul, and spirit and could explain it? Before you started looking here, how long have you been a Christian and never understood that? And so you run to the average guy and they pick up a Bible. They don't even know where to begin, but they look around. They know something is screwed up. They don't know what it is, but they know something is screwed up. By the way, this is before everybody's getting killed. Did I say on this show 3 months ago that the Muslims are coming? Did anybody remember Coach Dave having said that? Somebody give me a thumbs up if you think I'm lying. Because why? Because there's desperation. Oh, lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies, deception. Right? Okay. So it's happening. We're seeing it. There's terrorism going on in Las Vegas. There's terrorism going on. Hang on. Islamic terrorism. Muslims are alive again, right? Islamic terrorism in Las Vegas, Islamic terrorism in New Orleans, Islamic terrorism in New York. Oh, You see what's going on? You guys understand it all. You have eyes to see and understand the manipulation of fear that is upon us. Now, I want you to also know this. I'm not making light of it. They say there are maybe a million secret cells from the open borders in America today. Maybe a million. Are we aware of that? They got us worrying about COVID and now bird flu. Are we aware? Do we really, really understand? Do we really understand that we're in a time? Let me call time out for myself here. I want you guys to understand this. I don't care which team Donald Trump's playing for. He could be dead tomorrow. This is the church's finest hour. Not Donald Trump. Not Vivek Ramaswamy. The church's finest hour right in front of us. Right now in front of us. I'm venting. And we're spending all this time trying to figure out when the rapture's coming. It's coming for sure. Dude, your neighbor's lost. Your grandkids are lost. Your children are lost. Come on, man. Come on. And if you can't understand this, no matter how much they cheated, do you really understand by how much MAGA won in the last election? Do you really understand how big is, how huh? Ask yourself this simple question. Who's been president of the United States for the last 4 years? Sure as hell ain't been Joe Biden. But by the way, who's president right now? Who's in charge right now? And we laugh and laugh and laugh and say, well, it ain't Biden. Is that funny? That's funny? We got to sit here and we got to ride out the next 18 days. This could be 18 days from hell like we ain't never seen, baby. Because I'm going to tell you, if the church is arising, you better know this. The rats are running. And they're going to have a last-ditch effort to salvage everything that they've been working. Hang on. Here it is again. Pull it up for me, Spencer. You say, Coach, pull up what? I'm trying to find it. Number three. Thank God Jimmy Carter's dead. So I'm going to get on that one a second. Huh? 08. 08. Oh, 08. He told us. Go ahead.
I'm happy to look them in the eye and say what needs to be said. I'm happy to tell them what I think. I'm not going to avoid them. I'm not going to hide behind a bunch of rhetoric. I don't want a continuation of Bush-Cheney. I don't want Bush-Cheney light. I want a fundamental change.
There you are. He warned us. He wants a fundamental change. He wants a fundamental change. I don't want Bush-Cheney light either. And see, we've been lured into following that stinking, dirty Republican Party. Can I tell you something? The Republican Party hates Donald Trump. They hate him. Now, is he a two-card Monty? I've said it 1,000 times. If he's playing for the other team, we are screwed anyway. Okay? Now, let me move back here a little bit. Bear with me. I'm venting, okay? I'm venting. I got to say this. Jimmy Carter did more to ruin Christianity in America than any.
Boom.
Anybody beside me, remember when Jimmy Carter came into the president, when he was running as a born-again Christian, and here I was, I didn't even know what that meant. And he was one. He was a born-again Christian. And somebody help me here. Didn't he get us involved in some of those wars over in there? And didn't they lock up the hostages and all? Was there ever a weaker president than Jimmy Carter? He didn't even win his re-election. A weakened Christian, born again Christian man who believed in abortion and homosexuality. Anybody with me here? Say, Coach, you seem pissed. I am pissed.
Don't sugarcoat it, Coach.
He ruined Christianity, in my opinion. American Christianity. Got a born-again guy in the White House. Yeah. He ruined it. And what we are seeing in America today, I think, is a rebirth of Christianity. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. Right now, church, arise now or forget it. Forget it. But some of the church won't arise because they think we're going to be out of here soon. You know, my brother dropped dead May 20th. That's when his day came. I don't know if he was sitting around waiting to be raptured. But he's gone. Remember, man, you're dust and to dust you shall return. Remember this, when you die, your body goes into the dirt. The breath of life goes back to God who sent it. That's in Psalms. And the soul remains. I don't know if he's raptured. I don't know if he's going to come out of the grave. And I don't know anything about that. All I know, he ain't here anymore. We look around at everything that's going on around us, and it's like the church couldn't care less. Get it into our church. Hey, let's do this. Let's have a big Christmas party in our church. Let's do this. Let's hand out gifts to all the children that come. Oh, let's do this. Let's go feed the homeless. Yeah, we'll feed the homeless right here during Christmas and let their asses starve the rest of the time. Why? Oh, yeah. Am I doing okay here this morning? Am I just venting to me? Yeah. Do we understand and see what's going on? Do we get it or do we not get it? And now they come along and they start blowing up people down in New Orleans. Oh, watch out. Going on in Las Vegas, too. Oh, New York. Coming to a neighborhood near you. And your church ain't got no frigging clue. A guy walks up to me, brings a Bible. Where do I start? Holy smoke. Question. If somebody came up to you and asked you, where do I start? Could you have answered? That's a good question, isn't it, Ray? Huh? That's a good question. Could the average Christian tell them where to start and make it make sense? Could the average Christian just explain to his neighbor that he's three parts, body, soul, and spirit? Could he explain that? Could he explain the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Could he explain that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Could he explain that the wages of sin is death? Every time somebody sins, somebody has to die. Does he understand? Can you explain that Jesus Christ came and once and for all covered all sin with his blood? He died for every sin, but you have to get on the reservation list. You have to come and say, would you pay my bill? And he says, yes, I'll pay your bill. But you stop doing that tomfoolery. You stop doing that stuff. We can get into arguing, once saved, always saved. We always like to do this theological crap, don't we? Hey, listen, if Christ saved you, why would you do it again? See, we think salvation today is a license to continue. It's under the blood. Oh, it's under the blood. It's under the blood, brother Dave. Really? You know, talks in Psalms about the sin of presumption. What the sin of presumption is? I'm banking he's got me covered. Your children, by the way, are guilty of the sin of presumption. They know mom and dad will bail them out. Give me a thumbs up, Betty. Give me a thumbs up, somebody out there. Sin of presumption. I'm going to go do this because mom and dad will bail me out. And that's how we've lived our whole lives, rather than teaching children to suffer the consequences of what they've done.
Boom.
I ain't even getting started yet. I'm gonna call time out. Dale, what happened down there in New Orleans? Hang on a second, Dale. Hang on a second. You know what the biggest tragedy is, folks? Everywhere I look, the Sugar Bowl's postponed. Notre Dame. Oh, my goodness, they were going to play Georgia. Last night they couldn't play it. Now they don't know when they're going to play it because it'll mess up the whole playoffs. They got to get ready for a game next week. And that game's canceled, and we're finding bombs everywhere, and IEDs, and some Muslim drive. Come, folks, wake the hell up! I'm sorry, Dale. Go ahead.
Oh no, Coach. Look, first off, I want to apologize. I know it was January 1st, and you know, I sent you a barrage of texts, and you know, but what was going on down here, you know, when you get that local feel of it, is the fact the frustration of the leadership that I was sensing down here through the locals was that they knew that this was a terrorist attack, but the frickin' FBI refused to acknowledge it. Had that been a white guy, Coach, had that been a white guy in that truck, boy, let me tell you what, the racist, misogynistic, homophobic words would have been flying 10 minutes after it happened. But yes, the fact that there was a freaking, you could see it in the videos, that it was an Islamic flag. I don't care whether that guy was born in America. That guy was of that religion that is so far from peaceful, and it is the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, and we're seeing it. And yes, absolutely, here's the confirming. Coach, there were bombs that were planted throughout the French Quarter. These things, they had an IED remote that was found in that truck. But I'm telling you, I believe that there's something more nefarious, because the same thing that you have in the Capitol, those posts that come up from the ground, yep, they have those in New Orleans. Oh, they were temporarily being repaired since November, right? Yeah, and yeah. So then the house that caught on fire where this guy was staying, so they already know that there's three other men and a lady that they've got crime camera videos, because they're all over down there, that they were planning these IDFs. They found them. They were detonating them yesterday. Coach, this is more than just a terrorist attack. This is an attack on American soil by a foreign country, because now, I believe
this. Here's what it is. It's an attack on America by the Central Intelligence Agency.
And I believe America's hand was also in this. Now, I was sharing you right before the pre-show, my friend Troy Bone, he's the pastor of Raven Ministries. This is where we got to get spiritual, Coach. We better get the ear of God. We better have discernment like we've never had it before. This guy always has teams down in the French Quarter every single weekend for over 20 years, and we've helped support him. You kidding me? He has teams come in around the country to make sure that they're down there for New Year's Eve. The few days before New Year's Eve, the Lord spoke to him in his spirit and said, don't go down there New Year's Eve this year. He said it was the first time in over 20 years that they did not go out to the quarter, that he told all of his street preachers, hey, guys, we're not going. Stay home. The word of the Lord is coming. I'm telling you, Coach, that's what's important. That's what's important, is do we hear? Do we hear what the Spirit is explicitly saying? And listen, I'm not I don't have to be a Donald Trump man. Let me tell you what, King Cyrus was also an ungodly man, yet God used him. And you know what? You know what the church would have done back then? They would have looked at Daniel and said, oh, Daniel's a compromiser because he's meeting with King Darius, right? He's meeting with King Darius. He's got to be a compromiser too. Let me tell you what, Donald Trump has brought a movement to America. Had he not done what he had done, he didn't need to, the church would still be sleeping. And did you notice that
we think it's about Trump? We're totally
not. Yep. And oh, I'm sorry, what happened on New Year's Eve? Oh, the Capitol was struck by lightning, the Washington Monument was struck by lightning, the Empire State Building was struck by lightning, and the Freedom Tower were all struck by lightning.
Hang on, folks. Spencer, see if you can find, just Google search the Capitol being struck by lightning. This happened this weekend. Go ahead, Dale.
No, Coach. And then you have the same company. It's called Toro, that rented the vehicle to this guy that just came back across the border, right in Texas. 2 days prior to, was the same thing that Tesla truck that blew up. They've already determined that it was blown up. It was also rented by Toro. Where was it blown up? In Las Vegas? Whereabouts? Oh, at Trump Tower. Let me tell you what. Coach, the church is like the proverb. There's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the street. And as a lazy man, the door turns on his hinge. So does the lazy, slothful man turn in his bed. We better wake up.
We better wake up. On the screen right now, lightning strikes U.S. Capitol, Washington Monument, Empire State Building on New Year's Eve. There's only two of them. That's only two of the pictures. All right. I could tell. I could tell. Hey, folks, you better buckle up. America is under judgment. America's under judgment.
Coach, I'm going to throw one more thing in.
Yep.
It says, parents, rear your children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Here's a badge of honor. You know what my kids did on New Year's Eve? They don't live in my house. They're married and have their own families. They were taking communion at 12:05 and reading their Bible.
Mm. Amen. And most of the, oh, well. You see where, folks, there's hardly any real Christianity in America. You do understand that, don't you? The average Christian in America today has never led anybody to Jesus. They don't know how. They don't know what it means. They were never led to Jesus. Go ye into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And the church says, come. Come to our big mega church. We have Easter egg hunts. We have Christmas presents. What? Come. That's what I love about you guys in here, because you guys are goes. And you're swimming upstream. You're looking around, the big mega church in your town, mega churches in your town are having zero impact on the community. They are not the salt of the earth and the light of the world. They are not. There is a Christian if Jesus Christ does not bring a reformation in Christianity, was it Ronald Reagan said that we'd slip into 400 years of darkness? Isn't that what he said? Didn't Ronald Reagan tell us that? That's where we are. Everything you're seeing is judgment of God upon the church. That's the way that I take it. Innocent people. Can you imagine that you would go to the French Quarter? You ever been to the French Quarter? I've been down there a couple times because of our relationship with Dale. To go in the French Quarter, 3 a.m, and people are out walking around in the French Quarter at 3 a.m. The traffic was so thick you could. All right, I've vented. Judgment, friends, is at the door, and there isn't any of us. Jesus said, the Tower of Siloam. I've used this illustration before, Dale, back when Hurricane Katrina was going on. And I went into a church. There was a church service going on during after Hurricane Katrina was over. We were doing some cleanup down there. And I heard a guy stand up in the pulpit and start talking about, oh, God is so good and he protects us and yada, yada, yada. And my spirit man is just, oh, my goodness. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then I remember they talked about the Tower of Siloam. Do you guys know what the Tower of Siloam? See if you can find that, Spencer. Tower of Siloam, S-I-L-O-A-M, the Tower of Siloam. What Jesus said about the Tower of Siloam. What did Jesus say? Oh, good. This is good. Man, I love this show. There ain't nothing like this show. And Jesus mentions the Tower of Siloam in context of answering a question about a recent tragedy in Jerusalem. Some people told Jesus about a group of Galileans who'd come to the temple to sacrifice, and Pontius Pilate slaughtered them, probably due to the public disturbance the Galileans were causing. The men who related the story to Jesus may have been trying to lure Jesus into taking sides, either for or against Pilate, or they may have been simply curious about Jesus' reaction to the massacre. They drove right down through. They drove right through the French Quarter. Whatever their motivation, Jesus' respond is sobering. He said, do you think that those people in the French Quarter, you think they're worse sinners than you? Are you kidding me? I tell you, boys, unless you repent, coming to your door. Wow, huh? Wow. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It hits everybody. There were probably, I don't know, there were probably some Christians who were blown up in the French Quarter. How many died, Dale? 15?
15 now, Coach.
Yeah, there are probably some Christians. Yeah? Why? Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's why you got to be prepared at any moment. Any moment. All right. You don't have to admit it. How many of you said, Coach, I never saw that's about the Tower of Siloam. I never saw that. See, the fall of the Tower of Siloam is not mentioned in other historical records. And since the Bible gives no more details of the structure's collapse, we cannot be sure what the tower was for, only or why it fell. The tragedy was obvious and well known to Jesus' hearers. Be like 911. It'd be like 911, right? Siloam was an area just outside the walls of Jerusalem, outside the east of the city. Spring-fed pool was there. A lot of people went there. They saw it fall. He said, yep, dude, it's going to fall on you too. Come on in, Roger.
Oh, so much to respond to. I don't say it. Boy, Jimmy Carter, terrible president.
Terrible Christian. Sorry.
He was
he might be saved, Roger. He may have made it to heaven. He may have. Go ahead.
Well, maybe, I guess. But terrible president, for those that don't remember, the economy, the hostages, so on and so forth. You know, Dave, I look at New Orleans and Vegas. It's what's coming this year. It's what's coming. I don't know how to stop it.
They ain't going to put up with what's going on, folks. Yeah. They aren't going to put up with a revolution in America. I'm sorry, Roger.
No, and you know the Muslims, you know, they're not a peaceful group of people. I'm sorry.
They're just a vehicle. They're just a vehicle. Yeah. That's all they are. Just a vehicle.
Be alert, folks. Be alert.
Be alert. Lauren.
Good morning. Well, the church has just become Broadway, and it's just as common as deep dish pizza or thin crust. Which one do you want? I mean, that's all that it's become.
Yeah.
And it's been prophesied that there's going to be a 9/11 attack, something worse than 9/11. And I think most people thought it was just going to be like what happened with 9/11 was just one location, but they attacked domestically. They attacked our nation, but we're also attacking the world, considering that it was the World Trade Towers. So it's more than just specifically here. They wanted to land it here because we have all the nations here and we go out into all the nations.
Lauren, is Jesus Christ King of Kings, or is he just another famous guy that we worship? That's really the decisions we have to make, isn't it?
But see, that's what they've made it. And Jesus is not just Lord. Okay. Even the demons will say, you know, call him Lord. The demons call him Lord, but they can't call him Savior. We call him Savior. He has to be both your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And if you can't have just one and not the other, he can't just be your Savior in a Tinder swipe of a, you know, hey, I'm going to say a prayer, invite you into my heart, which Jesus never once said, invite me into your heart so you can be saved. No, because then you get to boast about how you saved yourself. No, Jesus Christ is the one, is in the encounter with him is what saves you. Not Jesus is the door to the Father, not saying some prayer like some magic spell.
That's right. Just a bless me prayer, right? Bless me.
Yeah.
Now, Mark Malley, come on in. I want to keep moving it. I want to keep moving. Next, go, Mark. Are you there, Mark? Kevin Van Story, go ahead.
Back when Carter come in, we had a choice between Gerald Ford and Carter. And of course, Ford was the first version of a Kamala. But because he was appointed, he was on the Warren Commission that investigated the Kennedy assassination. But anyway, I digress. Coach, thank you for sharing information with me about if somebody brings up a Bible to me and say, where do I start? I've never had anybody instruct me on how to do that. And I'll never forget that.
Amen.
Just another reason why I love Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Amen. Me too.
Well, I want you to know this. I wasn't prepared for the answer, right? But you know what I was prepared for, Kevin? I understand the gospel. And the truth of the matter is, most people, I hate the problem when you use the word most, they don't understand the gospel. They can't explain it because they don't understand it. That's truth, right? That's truth. Hey, Spencer, I just sent you a video. Get that thing ready to play here in a second. It may take a minute for it to get
also
ready.
Also, on Carter, he was the, you know, he was a born-again Christian, but he born was again. Also the, what they call the, what I call the soft-wash, born-again, turn-the-other-cheek, name claim it Christian. That's what he was.
That's what he was. And look what, when they're the hostage situation, what a fool they made Christian Jimmy Carter look like. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. I feel like this show is like the big time wrestling match, you know, where they have you tag me. You're getting trouble, you, so you give me a tag.
Amen.
So Dave, you come in and take some punches for me. Would you,
that's
Dave?
A good one. This is a tag team wrestling.
Yeah. So I'm going to take some of the pressure off you, Coach. And here's another thing, as you're talking, we've never been taught. Something that's never been taught in church is how to worship God in song. That's another thing that's never been taught. I'm telling you, I've been in so many churches where the pastors were almost clueless. They liked the music, but they had no idea what worshiping the Lord was all about in song. We can worship Him in many different ways. So I was recently asked to come and play music. But the person requested, I want you to do old hymn only because that's what the people want. And so I told him back, it's just okay, so what you want me to do is come and entertain the people. And he said, oh, absolutely not. We're going to be worshiping. Well, no, you already told me the people want this. Have you asked the Lord what He wants?
Amen, baby. And
this, okay, this is where I'm probably going to get the hate emails. My email is davidsong1@aol.com. The Lord has heard Amazing Grace to nauseam. But it makes us feel he's like, if I hear that song one more time, I am going to, man, I'm so see, this is the problem, folks. And it's about too often. It's about entertaining us. And we really don't go to the Lord and understand what it is He wants. I love Dale. When I go to hear Dale worship, guess what? He's going to bring something new that I probably haven't heard. And I enjoy that because the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. So if you can do anything for 2025, sing unto the Lord a new song. Enough said. Okay. Now you can.
Well done, baby. Well done. Hey, Spencer, I'm sending it to your personal email. Maybe you'll get it this time. Jeff Nares, come on in.
Hey, Coach, just to share with you my experience, I was that guy. I got a Bible. It was sent to me. I was desperate, and I started at Genesis. I called a friend of mine who was a Christian. I said, I don't get this. I said, this is terrible. I hate this. And he says, no, you can't start that. He says, start at John. He says, read John and read it twice. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I started with John, and truth started to leap off the pages. Yes. And I could only read.
And even
few...
in Charlotte, it's a big city if you have something going on.
What?
Betty, we heard you, Betty. Sorry.
Every few lines, I had to pause, and I was just going, wow, that's so true. That's so true. And it just kept hitting me like that. So John is where I started. And then he said, after you read John, go back to Matthew and just start there. I didn't even get into the Old Testament, right. But you know, all those methods work. I mean, it's amazing.
Amen. Joe Allen.
Here's a little tidbit about the female FBI unit that was there.
With a nose ring? And a nose ring in?
On the bottom of her jacket said BAU, Behavior Assessment Unit. How are they there already in Louisiana? That's a DC. That's a DC unit.
She's already there. She is already there. Not able to get that, Spence? Are we able to get it? Look, folks, this is unbelievable. Stop. Hang on a second. Now, look. I don't know if this is legit, okay? You all know about the Shroud of Turin, don't you? Shroud of Turin. Well, somebody has, whether through the computer, AI, whatever you want to do, they have imaged Jesus Christ. Look at this. Hang on. Look, I'm not trying to be blasphemous. Jesus Christ was a person. He had a body. They called him the long Galilean. They said there wasn't anything about him. It was beautiful, right? Nothing special about him. And this is from the Shroud of Turin. And they put features on it. Watch this. This is, don't send me any emails. Just watch it.
From some NDEs and dreams, this face hasn't been seen for
What the heck happened? Try it again.
The face dreams. This face hasn't been seen for 2,000 years till now. The face of a king that was born in time. Fully divine, yet fully human. He is a gift to all humanity, and this year we have been given the gift of being able to see him. It's the truth, hidden in plain sight. Scientific study of this object reveals that it is Jesus of Nazareth. Even though it's one of the most studied objects by science, only a fraction, 5 or 6 out of over 120, go against its authenticity. And even those are invalid now. If it was any other cloth with an image of any other historical figure, there would be no hesitation. This would be known mainstream and accepted without question. The mountain of evidence for it is irrefutable in a court of law. It's the face that brings hope, joy, light, and peace to the world. Merry Christmas.
Wow, is that something? Huh? Is that something? Fully man, fully God. It's, we can't understand it, right? And the same spirit that dwelled inside him dwells inside me and you. Come on, church. Come on. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Okay, so now that we've done it, I got to show you a couple others. Are you ready for this one? Because everything, I'm convinced of this. Everything we see in D.C., out of D.C., on TV, it's all fraud. It's all fraud. So do this. Somebody sent this to me. Thank you for sharing. Bring up number one, Deborah. This is Deborah Birx. It says this, Deborah Birx. You remember her? Anybody remember Deborah Birx? She was a girl that came out and told us all about, that's not it, Ben.
She's a scarf lady.
The scarf lady. Thank you, Vinny. The scarf lady. There she is, right? Remember her? Huh? I think this is real, okay? There she is, Deborah Birx, the scarf lady. New pandemic coming. Here comes the new Deborah Birx. Same person, new Deborah Birx. Try that one, Spence. Huh? Folks, what the hell is going on? They're telling this is Deborah Birx? Former Trump Former Trump White House coronavirus response. They're telling us this is Deborah Birx. She got a scarf on. Go back to the other one, Spence. Which one is it?
I noticed that too.
Folks, do you understand how deep the deception is? You have any idea? Do we have any idea how deep the deception is? I got 17 minutes. I got more I could talk about, but I'm gonna open it. I want to open it up to you. Come on.
Well, Coach, I'm gonna go back to the New Orleans thing.
Please
the,
do.
The crazy thing is if that piece of construction equipment was not there, not only would he have killed more people, he had the remote detonators to blow up different specific areas in the French Quarter. So not that I wouldn't mind that.
Dale, so the people understand, you can't just drive down the sidewalk. They have these metal posts that come up out of the ground, folks. So you couldn't just drive down them. But, Dale, they happen to be down for repair. Is that right? Now, Dale, here's the question we have to ask, folks. How real is this? Or is this another lies, deception, and fear? Oh, my, to scare us everywhere, right?
Coach, hey, I'll go back to with what Joe said about this. And I told you, I said that lady, first off, there's the problem. The police commissioner, a lady, the FBI in charge, a lady, all working their female emotions on this. Yeah. The challenge that was happening between local. Yep, the challenge that was happening between the locals and them, the guy had an ISIS flag on the back of his truck, right?
Well,
And all of a sudden they're trying to say that this, oh, it's not a terrorist attack. So the locals and the feds were going back and forth. We could see that locally. This thing was absolutely a religious jihadism thing that was done down there in New Orleans. I'm just telling you, man, you guys better be discerning. Like we said, Coach, this is just the beginning. I'm telling you, this is just the beginning.
Hey, Spencer, do me a favor. Number one. Here is the owner of Wikipedia. Hey, folks, we're at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads. We are either, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to reform, or we'll never recover. And as the church has decided that we're not going to get involved in the culture and the society, we've pulled back, we're waiting on the rapture, yada, yada, yada. Here is the founder of Wikipedia, Larry Sanger, explaining to us how his site went woke. It's only a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Introduced the neutrality policy before Wikipedia was even conceived of, and then Wikipedia inherited it from Newpedia. Wikipedia made a real effort at neutrality for, I would say, its first 5 years or so, and then it began a long, slow slide into what I would call leftist propaganda. I mean, it's a harsh description to put on Wikipedia, but at least a lot of the political articles read that way now. But that's because they follow the news media, at least they have done in the last 10 years or so, 10 or 15 years, they've gradually gotten rid of all of blogs, and then more recently they've gotten rid of almost all conservative news sources as sources for their articles. And so as the news media has shifted, and as the establishment, frankly, has shifted more to the left, the content of Wikipedia has followed suit. It would have been hard for me to accept that this would happen and that it would be so striking. Even 10 years ago, I mean, already there was this decline and a slide to a center-left point of view by 2010.
So there you go. Can I tell you why? Here's the point he's making, and we don't get. The church decided we wouldn't be the salt of the earth. That's what we decided. We don't want to get involved with politics. We don't want to mix religion and politics. We pulled back from the table, and the devil's team went and invaded and took over everything they could. By the way, without any resistance.
Boom.
And here we are today. We look around and say, how'd that happen? How did NBC, ABC, how did they become so lefty? Well, the church pulled away from it. Church started Trinity Broadcasting Network. Pat Robertson did his own. Christians, just all come and watch us. Just come and watch us. Jesse DePlantis, just come and watch us. And meanwhile, the salt lost its savor. Does anybody think I've got this wrong? Does anybody out there think I'm missing the beat here? The salt has lost his savor. Jesus said it becomes good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under Wikipedia and every place else, trodden under the foot of men. Because why? Salt's lost its savor.
Amen.
And you walk into a church today and ask the pastor, Pastor, why won't you get involved? Come on, Keith.
Mister, I have to wonder how many bad pennies are going to be walking around Washington, D.C. after Trump, you know, gets put in. I mean, that's pretty scary stuff.
It's very, very scary stuff. And I come back again, Keith. I don't know if he can trust Trump or not. I don't know. But I know this. A super majority of Americans voted for him. Are we going to run? Is it about him or is it about the Lord? Which is it? We got to make that decision. We got to make that decision. And if you guys think that you're not going to support Trump because, well, he's evil, well, dude, pick your poison. How do you like that other team? How are they playing, huh? They say, well, coach, they're both on the same team. Well, then we're screwed. We're screwed. Judah.
Yeah, Coach, you nailed it when you talked about the Trinity Broadcast Network. This rolls right into Daystar and KCM.
Yep.
Prior to that, people don't realize that what failed was the Crystal Cathedral and Robert Schuller.
Oh, my goodness.
Came out of Oral Roberts University in that the New World Order church that begun and then, God bankrupt their butt, which was awesome. And you know what? Then they folded into Trinity Broadcast Network and tried to restart the church on the TV for people to be able to do that. So that was their TV ministry, and that TV ministry is folding.
So what we have right now is we have a Christianity in America that costs you nothing. You come, you pay us, we'll entertain you, we'll make you feel good. You go home and hide from the devil, and maybe you'll be raptured out of here, and you won't have to deal with any of this mess. And I don't know about you, I see the impact around me everywhere I look. My family, everywhere I look, I see the impact of the devil's team and the influence that they have on our society. And the church goes on like there ain't nothing. I mean, it's.
Coach, to add to that, money that you're giving on TV to these ministries is also the money that's being laundered back to the Rhino Network.
There you go, bud. There you go. Yeah. So I won't go there. Jeff Klein, come on, Jeff.
Coach, all this stuff you're talking about, it just hit me when you said that here just a couple minutes ago. The church is responsible right now. It's on their shoulders. They're the fault why we have a pastor and some good Christians in prison.
Hundreds of them without trials. A lot of them without trials, right? Right? Well, they'll say, well, that's what Pastor Dunphy deserves to be in jail. You're not supposed to mix religion and politics. See, they get the exact wrong message. They get the exact wrong message. Somebody help me out. Can you name anybody in the Bible that ended up in jail? Well, hang on. Tell me people in the Bible who got rich by the gospel. Can you name any of those? As opposed to those who ended up in jail? Which is more likely, if you read biblical history, which is more likely? Is following Jesus going to make you rich or get your ass thrown in jail?
Jail.
I should stop swearing. You should hear what I want to say. Randy, come on in.
Coach, we got to look at things from God's point of view. Did all these people and did this thing, and is the injustice going on, just is that what it's all about? No, Coach, we have to see, did God just start a wave of a revival penitentiary system in the penal system? Is that getting ready to be a ripple effect that we're going to see and see it overturn some things in that systematic wicked system?
I know Cal's ass just pulled his butt off.
I know everybody wants to be home, and I wouldn't want to be there. But as if you look back biblical history and just see the truth in history, you have to change the systematic point of view. And that's how you do. You go in, just like they infiltrated us, we have to go back into that systems and infiltrate them and then just flip them back. And is that what God's doing, Coach? I mean, we have to think about it from his point of view, what he's doing, and see if we're fitting that. And one more thing, Coach, when we pray, we shouldn't be praying our will. We should be praying, God, your will be done. Because we don't know, if we don't know God, we need to just say, look, Father, you do your will. I don't know. Yeah, I want to free everybody from everything, any kind of harm and all. But sometimes the pain is what brings the exposition. and the change. And we have to say, in God's wisdom and in his understanding, we have to put our faith and trust in him. So don't just pray, oh, Lord, spare us from this correction. Spare us from this spanking. Spare us from this pain. We should be praying, God, spank our butts and turn us back on the road so we can see you and feel you and live for you. That's how we should be praying, Coach.
So, Randy, so how about this? How about the church, Christians, I'm talking to now, looking at Trump and saying, he isn't very Christian. Or holding your pastor, same standard. Looking at him and saying, well, he's not very Christian. Well, he has a form of godliness. He looks good. He says all the right things. He's lost his savor. Now, he hadn't lost his savor, and he makes you feel good and encourages you, gets you prepared to be happy, slappy, and everything, and wait to be out of here. Is your pastor leading a revolution locally? And they look at Trump. See, the church has all the power. All the power. You ready? I'm going to drop a bomb on you. Church has all the power. And they give it to Trump.
Boom.
And then blame that he's not Christian enough for them. Oh, I'm nailing it today. I know I'm making some of you upset. I know that I am. I don't care. Because if you think America rests on the shoulders of Donald Trump, you are missing the whole thing. Donald Trump has said, Christians, come in. Are we? Are we? No, because he's not Christian enough. He screws women. Do you know that? Did you know Donald Trump screwed women? You know I'm telling you the truth, right? They said Joe Biden screwed little kids. Oh, man. I got 3 minutes left. Somebody want to rescue me? Is there anything you can say to rescue me? Oh, your hand's up. I'm sorry. Come on in, Proverbs. Is that Adam? I'm sorry, Adam. I had the wrong one.
Yeah, it's me, Coach. Good morning. I think most of the churches out there are so focused on what's going on in Israel that they would rather change the name of the United States of America to the Zionist States of America.
Oh, dude. You said it, not me, Adam. Don't send me any emails. James, come on in.
I guess you could look at this in the linear view of Baptist, Pentecostals, Methodists, Jehovah's Witnesses. How many denominations, when Satan infiltrated the church, he made, how many denominations do we have?
48,000 right now. 48,000.
Which one is the church? Ours. You're saying the church has the church has the power. Which one is the church?
Yeah, our church.
The one who denies himself, takes up his cross, and follows him. That's
folks, do you know this, folks? I see it every day here. Do you know we have people who get mad of other people because they don't agree with their theology? Do you know that? Right? As if they have it all right. I got it all right, and you're all wrong. And because you're all wrong, I'm not gonna watch Coach David. He said something I don't agree with. Oh yeah. Well, if it was the truth, why would there be any disagreement?
That's the infiltrator infiltrating this ministry right here. It's just the way he works. What really is good about this group and this ministry? There are many like it. We have just have it connected. There's many been pulled out of that system of ungodly, and it really started. I'll hurry up. It really started back in Paul's church. Paul said some of them preach the gospel out of comfort, but I preach the gospel out of necessity and what the Holy Ghost wants us to do. So if you go to Voice of the Martyrs, you'll find true Christians.
Gotta run, James. God bless you, man. Gotta run, folks. Gotta run. Come on, this is going to be our finest hour, friends. This right now. What a time to be alive. Don't miss this opportunity to get in the game. See you tomorrow.